Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Speaking about Cyril Ramaphosa, he has asked NERSA. He has asked NERSA, which I don't really understand. I'm not sure how that works, but President Cyril Ramaphosa said he has asked Eskom to hold off on the 18.65 tariff increase. The power utility was earlier in the month granted the tariff increase amid prolonged bouts of load shedding. We wanted to try and understand, is this even possible? Clyde Mallison is an energy analyst. He joins us this morning. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thanks. Never felt better.
All right. Well done. You win. You win the morning mayhem this morning. Yes, never felt better. Right. Absolutely brilliant. Okay. What is this? It's like we're living in a surreal time. We've got Eskom demanding more. NERSA agrees, or NERSA demanding more. They eventually agree. And then our president, who's head of the party responsible for this all, goes and says, oh no guys, you know, that's a bit much, South Africans can't cope. What is this?
It's a Greek tragedy morphing into a comedy, basically.
Yeah, I mean
it really has become surreal now, you know, the goings on. So remember, Eskom actually asked for 32% originally. I've been presenting a NERSA and Eskom hearings since about 2010.
Oh wow.
So yeah. I know the dance. I call it the annual tango, if you can picture that.
Yes.
You know, sort of,
yes.
Eskom push NERSA forward tango, and then they go back, and then they normally settle halfway and they start doing an Argentine tango with kind of flicking their legs and so on.
Right.
So I predicted that the increase would be 19%.
Okay. Pretty close.
And I'm not, I kind of know how to predict these things. It's easy. You take what Eskom asked for, you add on inflation, and you divide by 2. And that comes to 19, basically.
Right.
And I've done that every year. So it's almost like, you know, the trade unions want 20%. Eskom say naught, they settle on 10. Now, it's meant to be, both NERSA and Eskom are meant to use a big complicated formula. But they both use the same formula.
Right.
And every year they come up with different answers using the same formula. So, the formula includes things like the value of Eskom's current assets. And
right.
Eskom says we value our assets at X. And
okay,
NERSA
so that's where the disconnect happens.
That's where the disconnect is. But it's the same formula. So, if they really want to say it's formulaic, they need to then arm wrestle over inputs, not arm wrestle over the outputs. But be that what it may, Eskom got granted 18.65.
Right.
It's a long, arduous process, and it kind of was just in time, because Eskom have to publish a great number of tariff booklets. They have to update all of their stuff. And to then come along at a party political meeting, not at a government level, and say, well, he's kind of asked Eskom to waive this, you know, to put it on hold.
So it's just, so would you argue that that's just popularism and politics?
I think so. You know, there's an element of empathy that I'd like to point out, because you and I know that rank and file South Africans cannot take a 19% increase. Mm. So it's kind of, I want to call it pro-small business, pro-poor. So the sentiment is correct, but the way of kind of going about it is completely incorrect. So over the years, when I've spoken about tariff increases, I've always said that I don't care what the tariff is. It's irrelevant. You've got to go to the core problems. You've got to look at them. This was remembered during the Gupta attack over Eskom when I was doing this. I actually even once stood up and apologized to the nation on behalf of Eskom with kind of Anush Singh and the guys sitting in the front row listening to me. You know, So Eskom, you know, there's a number of reasons we all kind of know them why they need this extra money. So the point is they don't deserve an increase. Because of the...
Right, because the customers aren't being serviced. Simple as that.
Yeah, because the customers aren't being serviced because of the fast pillage that's gone on there, and the theft and the incompetence and the overdueness of Madupi and Cassidy. So they don't deserve it. Mm-hmm. Do they need it? Hell yes, they need an increase because they haven't got enough dosh to buy diesel at the moment to knock off a couple of layers of load shedding. So kind of the sentiment when I heard Cyril give his speech, I actually heard it quasi live on television. Goodness me, what's going on here? Because he said he didn't think it was fair for Eskom to get an increase while they weren't delivering. Kind of almost like you've said now, you're not delivering your product, you know, so how can
you ask for more?
And he sort of said, if you sorted it out and you were able to stop load shedding, then I reckon you deserve an increase. And the irony of that is they need the increase to stop the load shedding. So it's kind of like a circular argument, almost like a loop in a computer program.
The problem with that is, you know, if somebody else said it, it would be one thing, but him saying it as head of the party that has caused the problem in the first place, through its own regulations, through its strangling of the industry and not allowing independent producers in reality to join, it just comes across as bizarre.
Yeah, and as I was just saying, on all the years when I spoke, I never focused on what the tariff would be. I was focusing on what needed to be done.
Right, right.
Then I would say the tariff that's awarded is quasi irrelevant. If you award a lower tariff, there'll be a bigger treasury bailout. If you award a higher tariff, there'll be a smaller treasury bailout. And we all know that's happened. Treasury has poured money into Eskom, probably to the tune of, well, hundreds of billions over the years because of the tariff shortfall. So either the users pay through an increased tariff or the taxpayers pay indirectly through a bigger bailout. And heaven knows what the size of the bailout, well, heaven doesn't know, heaven does know what the bailout would be. The Treasury is going to have to stump up about 70 billion, which is the equivalent of wiping off that increase, you know. So Eskom are going to come and say, unless you get a billion,
it's going to come back to you. Why can't they solve the diesel problem? Why isn't Treasury or government assisting with diesel? I mean, we've seen this tug of war happening since the end of last year.
Yeah, look, it's quite a crazy thing. When Eskom overspend their budget on diesel, and even in this last determination by NERSA, NERSA rap them over the knuckles and say, you've spent more than you should have on your diesel budget, and therefore the increase you're asking for of 32%, part of the reason we're only giving you 19%, apart from my explanation of how they actually derive that, is that it was wasteful and fruitless expenditure. You shouldn't have spent that money on diesel. You should have fixed your coal fleet. And so Eskom then actually ran out of money, cash, to buy diesel in about October or something, I think it was. And they said, okay, we can pull a bit of money from here. We can maybe go easy on our pay as you earn payments. We can maybe start schnaffling the staff's pension. You know, whatever. You can go digging for money. But if we spend that money, we know we're going to get rapped on the knuckles by NERSA. They're going to say it wasn't prudent. It wasn't efficient. So they kind of say we've run out of money. Now they understand that it costs South Africa, they reckon, 10 rand a kilowatt hour of unserved electricity. The CSIR say 87 rand. If you look at the whole economic
impact,
lack of investment. So, but even if it's 10 rand, the diesel costs them about 5.70 rand to generate a kilowatt hour. So it makes sense, but the diesel comes out of their bank account. Load shedding comes out of South Africa.
Okay. So we effectively are subsidizing Eskom in a way.
Yes, load shedding is far more harmful to the economy, but it's not as harmful
to Eskom.
We haven't got money in the bank. So
which is a terrible conflict of interest. Very, 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 very frightening. We do, unfortunately, need to leave it there. It's a conversation I'd love to have again with you because there's so many nuances to it. But that is unfortunately all we have time for. Clyde Madison, he's an energy analyst. Thank you for bringing us that perspective.